Welcome to the Old Time Radio Westerns. I'm your host, Andrew Rines, and I'm excited to bring you another episode absolutely free. This episode is one of many released every month, totaling over 80 episodes so far. Each one is meticulously digitally restored and stored in the cloud for your convenience, a process that incurs costs. To help cover these expenses, you might hear some advertisements throughout the episode. While we do retain the original commercials for historical authenticity, we may also encounter modern ads, which help keep the lights on. If you prefer an ad-free experience, we offer a couple options. You can listen to the episodes on YouTube, where they don't include the audio ads, although YouTube may provide their own ads on their platform. Alternatively, you can also support us by becoming a patron on our Patreon page. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/donate. Again, otrwesterns.com/donate. I do want to emphasize that we are committed to providing this content to you for free, but also we have to be transparent about the financial realities to bringing this to you. To those of you who are already supporting us, we extend our heartfelt thanks. Your contributions make it possible for us to continue doing what we love. And as a final note, I did want to mention one last thing. If you are paying for a service, let's say like Audible, and you're listening to this show on that site, they do not provide any financial or monetary means to this podcast. We provide it to them as a way for you to be able to listen, but they don't help us in any way. So again, thank you to everybody who's already supporting, and those of you who want to support us in the future, I deeply appreciate it. Now, let's get into this episode. This episode is going to be Gunsmoke. Original air date is January 16th, 1954, and the title is The Bear. Thanks for listening, and let's get into it.
Gunsmoke, transcribed earlier today from CBS. Around Dark City and in the territory out west, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of Gunsmoke. Starring William Conrad, the transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Up ahead there, Mr. Dillon. Somebody's gone left his wagon right out on the prairie.
Now, there's a man down in front of it, Chester. But it sure looks like his team went off and left him.
What would he be doing out here with a busted wagon and no team?
And I expect he'll be glad to tell us. Come on. Get up.
Oh. What? It's Mike Blocker.
Yeah. Hello, Mike.
Hello there.
Well, this is a poor fix for a man to be in the day before his wedding.
Sure is. Well, it'll keep me sober, Marshal, and still do appreciate that, even if I don't make Dodge tonight.
What happened, Mike? Where's your team?
Oh, Chester, we hit a hole back there, and the whiffle tree busted, and that team... They just run off like they was glad to get shed of the whole dang thing.
That must have been quite a hold you hit to do this.
No, not much. Look here, Marshal.
The bar's been sawed, happened too.
Sure. It's them boys again.
What boys?
Them two crazy cowboys I hired on last fall.
Wait. Plummer and Webb, you mean?
Yes. They've been funning me a lot lately.
You mean this is just a joke?
What they figured, I guess.
Well, it ain't much of a joke to leave a man stranded on the prairie this way. especially when he's trying to get to town to be married.
Now, this ain't so bad. Just yesterday, they cut the stakes in my saddle. Good thing the bronc got loose and bucked it off before I could get mounted.
I wish I were as even-tempered as you are, Mike.
Well, Marshal, it don't pay to get mad.
No, it seems to me Plummer and Webb are going a little far with their joke.
Don't they want you to get married?
I don't know. I never asked them.
Now, where are they now?
Oh, they rode into Dodge this morning. They didn't see me at the wedding. I had to bring the wagon so that I could carry Matilda back to the ranch.
Well, we'll find your team for you. Maybe we can rig up a whiffle tree of some sort. You can buy a new one in Dodge.
Oh, I'd be beholden to you, Marshal.
Ah, you'll get to town in time for a drink yet. We'll ride along with you to see
what you do, Mike.
Well, no, sir. If you don't mind, Mr. Dillon, I think I'll go on down to the depot. The Santa Fe is about due, and I like to watch it come in.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll leave you here, then.
Sure do thank you, though, old thing.
Well, I didn't say that I was buying.
You'd have had to. I'm broke.
Man has to be mighty careful of what he says around you. I'll see you later.
Okay, sir.
Never would have got to town today.
You rode in an hour ago, and you already heard about it?
Matilda told me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about you and Matilda.
She's the only lady in this town who is my friend.
You better. Oh, thanks, man. You going to the wedding, Kitty?
He insists that I do.
You're pretty close friends, aren't you?
Pretty close, Matt. I guess it's partly because she can talk to me about things she wouldn't even dare mention to her nice friends.
Now, they're no better than you are, Kitty.
Maybe not. But there are more of them in the long run. That makes a difference. What do you want to know about Matilda and me?
Well, I've been wondering if there's any reason why either of those cowboys who work for Mike Blocker wouldn't want that wedding to come off tomorrow.
Plummer and Webb?
Yeah, that's right.
You must have some reason for wondering about it, Matt.
Well, man's friends always treat him a little rough before he gets married, but these boys have carried it pretty far.
It's jealousy, Matt.
No? Which one?
Plummer. He and Matilda used to see each other once in a while. Till she met Mike and fell in love with him.
Yeah. Has Plummer threatened her? Or Mike?
He's afraid of Mike in spite of his gentle temper.
Yeah, he should be.
But he told Matilda he'd make as much trouble as he could.
What kind of trouble?
Anything that'll embarrass her, I guess. Like a chivalry. But real unfriendly.
Now, they started their chivalry a little early. They even tried to get Mike crippled up a couple of days ago.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know about that.
Well, nothing came of it. But I sure don't like to see anybody's wedding day spoiled. I think I'll look those two up and have a talk with them.
I swear I've been in every saloon in Dodge, Mr. Dillon. Maybe they ain't in town after all.
Well, we'll try the hotel, Chester.
Why don't you just throw them in jail till the wedding's over?
I'd like to. Now, wait a minute. There they are.
Yep. It's them, all right. I saw Mike over at the Longhorn taking on a few.
Well, even marrying a good woman makes a man nervous, Chester.
Oh, it sure does. Well, just the thought of it, and I want to go live with the Comanche.
Well, you can't let other men do all the marrying.
Why not?
I don't know, Chester, but it's what they say. Hello, Plummer.
Hello, Marshal. What's on your mind, Marshal?
That's
seen you come all the way across the plaza.
And I wanted to talk to you about the wedding tomorrow.
Oh? You ought to be talking to Mike Blocker. He's the one that's getting married. We ain't, are we, Webb?
No, we ain't. Did you think we were?
All right, that's enough. You're not dealing with Mike Blocker now. You're dealing with me, and my temper's a whole lot quicker than his.
No offense, Marshal. Webb didn't mean nothing.
No, I didn't mean nothing.
We're just in kind of good spirits. On account of the wedding and all.
For sure, you know how it is, Marshal.
You call it good spirits to try to get a man hurt 2 days before his wedding?
How?
Cutting the cinch on his saddle.
Oh. Mike told you.
It did.
He didn't seem to mind as much as you do, Mike.
Don't be fooled by that. If Mike ever does get mad, there's going to be trouble. But I'm telling you to leave him alone.
Well, we ain't going to do nothing. Maybe a little chivalry after the wedding, that's all.
I don't want either one of you anywhere near that wedding.
Oh, now, Marshal, we was invited.
The invitation's off. You understand me?
Yeah, but Marshal...
Shut up, Webb. He's the law. We won't go near the wedding if he says so. Now, sir, we won't go nowhere as near it. That satisfy you, Marshal?
I go to a room and never get past. See all the lovely new clothes she has. She's been saving for years.
Yeah, I know. Mike told me. She's real proud.
You're going to wait around to see him off, aren't you?
Yeah, we'll be here. I couldn't get Chester away from that free liquor anyway.
This liquor may be free, but it ain't too stout. I'm on my third glass, and I don't feel a thing.
You don't have enough blood in you to move it around, Chester. That's your trouble.
Well, I'd have plenty of blood if it wasn't for old quacks like you bleeding me every time I get a cold.
I never bled a man in my life, and you know it.
Well, maybe you didn't, but I sure have been bled by other doctors.
Don't blame me if you're fool enough to let him do it. You know, Matt, I've always said if people would just stand up for their doctors once in a while, it'd improve the whole medical profession.
Well, you may be right, Doc.
Of course am I.
I'm going to go see if that jug is empty yet.
Yeah, I think Mike's drunk half of him himself.
Take a look around outside while you're at it, huh, Justin?
For Plummer and Webb?
Oh, they haven't showed up yet, but they might be waiting.
All right, sir, I'll do it.
Oh, it's a nice wedding. Wasn't it, Matt?
Yeah, fine.
I brought some ammonia along in case Mike got too weak to go through it.
His entrance was a little shaky, but he got his color back about the halfway mark.
Matt.
Huh? Oh, what's the matter, Kitty?
Matt, terrible. That poor girl.
Well, what's happened?
It's her clothes. All her new clothes. Matt, we went to her room to get a pass, and everything's been torn to shreds.
What?
It's a mess. And Matilda's up there crying her heart out.
A plumber, I suppose.
Of course you get it. Who else would? Girl.
You better go back to her, Kitty. And don't tell anybody about it yet.
All right, man.
Hey, well, what are you going to do, man?
Find Plummer and Webb and lock him up. Mike's pretty drunk, and I got an idea. He won't take this joke as easy as he did the other.
Saloon to saloon, but Plummer and Webb seem to have disappeared. must have left town, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, the Oasis over there is the only place we haven't been into yet. Might as well have a look.
It's making pretty bold calling this place the Oasis.
Oh, why?
It's the poorest saloon in town. A thirsty jackass wouldn't stop here to sniff a rain barrel.
Yeah, not if he knew his way around, he wouldn't.
Mm. Look at there. Even the door's busted off.
Yeah, it sure is.
Mr. Dillon, this place is a wreck. Where is everybody?
There's been a fight here, Chester. Now, there's somebody.
Look at his head. He's laying funny. What? Well, that's Webb.
Yeah. He got his neck broke, Chester.
Where'd that come from?
They're behind the bar there. Maybe a plumber.
No, that's not a plumber.
Hey, get the beer off the bar and throw it on him, Chester.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh. Don't hit me.
I'm the marshal. Nobody's going to hit you. Now, who are you, mister?
Joe. I'm the bartender.
Well, what happened here, Joe?
Why, that was crazy. He's still here, Marshal?
No, he's gone. Who was he, Joe?
The fellow that Plum and Webb worked for. Mike something. He was awful mad, Marshal. Awful drunk, too.
Where'd Plummer go?
I don't know. I tried to stop it, but they hit me. Knocked me out.
Was anybody else in here?
Just them, and then Mike come in.
Now, Joe Webb's lying on the other side of the bar. He's dead.
Dead?
Yeah. Do you see who killed him?
He pulled a knife on Mike. He was going to use it, too. Somebody killed him, huh?
Was it Mike?
I got hit about that, Marshal. I didn't see no more.
All right, Joe. You do something about Webb there, huh?
Look what they done to my place. It's ruined. Who's going to pay for all this?
I don't know, Joe, but I'll try to find out. I didn't find out, not that night anyway. We looked around the Oasis inside and out, and then I sent Chester down to wait for Mike in case he showed up at Matilda's place. So I scouted the town again. But shortly after daybreak, we both gave up and met back at the office.
Miss Kitty was down here, Mr. Dillon. She stayed with Matilda all night.
Oh, good. How's Matilda taking it?
Well, I don't think she cares about her clothes anymore. She's so worried about Mike.
Yeah. You didn't tell her about Webb being killed, did you?
Oh, my goodness, no, sir. I wouldn't do that. She'll find out soon enough, poor thing. What's Mike?
Yeah, Mike. Come to turn myself in, Marshal. Where you been, Mike? Asleep? Oh, where's Plummer?
Oh, I don't know. I was so drunk and so mad, I don't remember much of anything. Think he knocked me on the head while I was finishing off Webb. I know I ain't seen Plummer since. I've just been down to the Oasis. Joe ain't seen him neither.
Well, nobody has, I know. But where were you?
Oh, I was awful drunk, Marshal. I must have got as far as Kelly's stable, crawled into a stall there. At least that's where I woke up this morning.
Well, I'm going to have to lock you up, Mike.
Yeah. That's why I come. Marshal, that was a bad thing they done to Matilda.
Yeah, it was. But you shouldn't have killed anybody for it.
Well, maybe.
Lock him up, Chester.
Yes, sir.
I'll bring back some coffee.
This way, Mike. I sure am sorry to have to lock up a man like you, Mike.
If you didn't, Chester, I'd just go find Plummer and kill him.
There you are.
Yeah.
Mr. Dillon, be back directly. Then you can have some coffee.
I don't want nothing. Don't move, Chester.
Plummer.
I'll take your gun.
Well, we've been looking everywhere for you.
Are you glad you found me? Mike.
What are you doing here, Plummer?
I come for you, Mike. I'm going to take you out back and kill you.
It's a good thing you got a gun.
I didn't have a gun last night.
What'd you hit me with then?
Table leg.
I should have killed you, too.
You didn't kill Webb. You knocked him out, that's all.
What are you talking about? He's dead, ain't
he? Sure, he's dead. After I hit you with that table leg, I busted his neck with it.
You... What for?
So they'd hang you for it.
Well, then what are you doing here now? I've already admitted to killing him.
I got to thinking, that's why.
Thinking what?
Well, when Doc gets a look at Webb, he'll know you couldn't have hit him that hard. Anyway... I figured you'd remember about it all.
They'll hang you, Plummer.
Not me. I'm going to kill you, and then I'm going to be gone to Texas.
You shoot me, or they'll hear you.
I ain't going to shoot you. Less than I have to. I'm going to cut you, Mike. And you won't look very good when Matilda sees you.
Matilda?
We was friends once, Mike. Real good friends. You know the kind.
You and Matilda.
I'll tell you what it was like while I'm cutting your throat. Get out of that cell now. I got...
Chester. You all right?
It was Plummer, Mr. Dillon. He hit me. I'm okay now.
Well, come on, then. Come on. Mike's gone.
Plummer must let him out.
Let him out. Nothing. He's probably killed him. Let's look out back.
Dillon?
Yeah.
It's Plummer.
Yeah, he's been beat to death.
He sure has.
Yeah, his gun's missing, but he got that knife into Mike first. He's leaving an easy trail to follow. Come on.
He headed for the alley. I wonder you didn't run into him out on the street.
Yeah, if he got that far... Stay back, Chester. I'll go around the corner first.
Yes, sir.
No, Mike! I got him. All right, come on. Mike, what did you shoot for?
Well, I didn't know it was you, Marshal. Thought maybe Plummer'd come too.
Now, Plummer's dead. You're not in very good shape yourself.
He cut me a little before I got to him. Ain't bad,
but I might have killed you.
Thank you for not trying, Marshal.
We better get you up to Doc. He'll dig that bullet out of your arm.
Sure.
By the way, Mike, I saw Doc a few minutes ago. He'd been down looking at Webb. What did you hit him with?
Plummer killed him. Told me so. He had a table leg, Marshal.
Doc figured something like that.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The special music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. Later tonight on most of these same stations, Herb Schreiner will take your sense of humor in hand and give it a once-over wonderfully on Two for the Money. Hoosier Herb and his droll wit are an irresistible combination for merriment. The quiz part of Two for the Money makes the show that much more interesting to hear. Remember, Two for the Money later tonight. George Walsh speaking. Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy open Fire on Your Funny Bone Sunday nights on the CBS Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of OTRWesterns.com, and we hope you enjoyed. Please take some time to like and rate our shows in your favorite podcast application. Follow us on Facebook by going to OTRWesterns.com/Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel by going to OTRWesterns.com/YouTube. And send us an email, podcast@OTRWesterns.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail, 707-986-8739. This episode is copyright under the attribution, non-commercial, share-alike copyright. For more information, go to otrwesterns.com/copyright. Have a great day, and thanks for listening.